Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.
I have some serious concerns about my husband's relationship with the Lord. He was raised in the church and knows how to act and what to say among Christians and at church, but I don't see evidence of sanctification in his personal and family life. When I bring up concerns, he either accuses me of trying to fix him, or he will modify his behavior for a while just to please me, but then he falls back into the same patterns. This is affecting our marriage. I love him dearly, and I think we could use counseling, but he doesn't think anything is wrong. What should I do?
This is a heartbreaking situation, but it's so common. There's probably a lot of wives that feel like they probably could have submitted this question themselves. The great temptation is to try to do just what this husband has accused her of doing, and that is to try to fix him. Now, I've got no doubts that her motives are pure and she wants what's best for him, but the temptation will be to somehow force him to change. You can't do that. We cannot change other people. We've talked about this on other episodes, but the good news with this situation is that there is a passage of Scripture that speaks directly to this situation. It is a somewhat difficult passage to heed, but it speaks directly to the situation, and it's 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6. Kyle, would you read that for us?
Yes. Likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry, or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. And you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening.
This passage speaks to all wives, and the text says, even to the wife of a husband who does not obey the word, her husband's not walking with the Lord. And that could be a husband who's not a believer, or it may be a husband who's a believer but who's not obeying the Lord. But what is to be her primary course of dealing with that situation according to this passage?
Yeah, Peter says in this passage, win him over by your godly conduct.
Right. The text says, without a word, win him without a word. There are a number of things that Peter could have written here. But this comes in the context of a section of 1 Peter that deals with how to live under authority. And every wife needs to understand that when dealing with her husband, that's exactly the situation she's in. She's under her husband's authority. And Peter could have written, persuade him with logical arguments or use emotional appeals. And this is what many wives will tend to do, and I don't blame them. I could see myself doing the same thing. But Peter says that her primary course should be to submit to his authority and to exhibit respectful and godly conduct. And it's specifically her respectful and godly conduct that has the potential to win him without a word. In other words, she should focus on living a godly life in front of him. She should pursue a gentle and quiet spirit. So listen again to what he writes there. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands. And I want to emphasize that phrase, who hoped in God. Women who hope in God adorn their lives with godly conduct and trust God to change their husbands rather than trusting their own words to change their husbands. So here's a good question for the wife out there who's dealing with this kind of situation. Is your hope in God? Or is your hope in your husband changing? If it's the latter, you'll never be able to obey this passage. You must hope in God. You must believe that even if your husband never changes, you'll be okay because God is your hope. He takes care of you. He provides all your needs. He'll give you the strength to persevere. He'll give you the ability to be a good, godly wife in a difficult situation. Hope in God and demonstrate that hope by making your primary influence on your husband your godly life and not your attempts to change him through your words. So first of all, we should say, based upon 1 Peter 3, that the wife in this situation should seek to win him over by godly conduct.
Yeah, and another way she can do this is by obeying the one another commands.
Yeah. Obey the one another commands. Your husband may be a believer, and if he claims to be a believer, then you should treat him like one, which includes obeying what we call the one another commands in his life. And the New Testament is filled with all of these commands about encouraging one another, praying for one another, confessing your sins to one another. There are also commands to confront one another when other believers are straying or sinning. And so we have then what might seem to be competing commands here, 1 Peter 3, win him without a word, but then if he's a believer, you have a command in other places to confront sin. So it's going to require some balance and a great deal of self-control. Now, the wife who has asked this question says that she has talked to her husband about her concerns, and that is a good thing. Now, I would be careful not to talk to him so much that it would be difficult for her to say that she's obeying 1 Peter 3, which is winning him without a word. Other women may find it very difficult to confront their husbands about anything because they hate confrontation or they're fearful. Those wives need to make a concerted effort in the other direction. So they're naturally disposed to win him without a word, but they don't do well warning and confronting sin. But those are biblical commands too. So how do you find a good balance? First of all, I would suggest identify your own predisposition. So ask yourself the question, am I disposed to be on him all the time about this and not win him without a word? Or am I the type to always be silent and never say anything about the dangers that I see in his life? Once you've identified your own predisposition, then lean in the opposite direction. So if you're predisposed to over-confront, err on the side of silence. If you're predisposed to silence, push yourself to confront. But I would say this to those who are disposed to silence. Once you've made your concerns known, then return to silence for a good while. So confront, but then back off and retreat, I guess you could say, to that 1 Peter 3 position and return to winning him without a word.
Yeah, and very importantly, pray fervently.
Pray fervently. James 5, 16 through 18 is just a magnificent portion of Scripture for anyone who is in a troubling situation. It reads, "The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit." The prayer of a righteous person has great power. So James first gives that principle, and then he gives Elijah as an example of powerful prayer. And we may think, you know, Elijah's not the best example to encourage us because we think of Elijah as this super saint from the Old Testament. But James explicitly makes the point, look, Elijah is a man with a nature just like ours. He's just like us. He's not superhuman. He's not super believer. What was accomplished through Elijah happened because he prayed with faith. It was the prayer that was extraordinary in his life. He was just a normal man. And this may sound cliche to the wife listening, but prayer is the greatest tool you have. In churches the world over, have women in them who can give testimonies to the effectiveness of prayer in turning around wayward husbands. We have some at Providence Bible Fellowship. They had husbands who had little interest at all in spiritual things, who were pretending once a week on Sundays, but God changed them. And the only explanation is that they were faithful to pray and wait. Now, you can pray about this, and it may not be the Lord's will to change your husband, but it may be, and prayer is likely going to be the way that that happens. But either way, just wear your knees out. Live a godly life in front of him. Obey those one another commands without doing it so much that you can't say you're obeying 1 Peter 3 and winning him without a word. Those are the three things that I would give to a wife in this situation to encourage her.
Amen. Hey, Greg, what about that bit in the question about pursuing counseling with the spouse?
Okay. I would tell her you've got a couple of options. You could pursue counseling yourself. You could do it alone, and through that counseling, receive more instruction and help on how to deal with this situation, which will likely look a whole lot like what we've just talked about.
Right.
You can also put in front of your husband, I think we need counseling, but I would do that within the confines of the things that we've already talked about. So I would tell him that you think you need counseling, encourage him to do that. If he's resistant, then back off to the 1 Peter 3 position and win him without a word. And then maybe a few months later, approach the topic again. Don't be on him all the time about the counseling, but occasionally bring it up and pray about it all the time. Pray that the Lord would move him to want to go to counseling, because I think counseling is needed. It's definitely needed. But I would pursue counseling through these three things that we've just talked about.
Well, that's been a lot of helpful stuff here today.
Praise
God. Were blessed by this episode, don't forget, share it on Facebook, Twitter, and don't forget also, ask questions, please.
Ask questions.
Until next time. This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.